Welcome to the newest in our series of interviews here on Neon Jazz with Brooklyn-based saxophonist, composer, and educator Michael Eaton. Raised in Liberty, Missouri, and now in New York City, Michael has traveled well in his jazz journey. During the month of February 2015, he will be coming back home to Kansas City as a part of a Midwestern tour promoting his newest and impressive release on Destiny Records called Individuation, featuring his New York quartet. Over the course of our interview, we talked about his roots, the new tour, his jazz heroes, and much more. Please enjoy it.
I'm going to go ahead and dive right in here and ask about your upcoming gig here in Kansas City. How did it come about, and what's kind of going to be your focus for this gig?
I'm going to be in Kansas City at Westport Coffee House this Wednesday, February 18th, from 7 to 9 p.m., and I'm bringing my New York quartet as part of a Midwestern tour to Kansas City. We're going to be in four different cities over five nights. We're going to be in Cleveland on Monday, Chicago on Tuesday, Kansas City on Wednesday, Bloomington, Indiana, which is where my alma mater is, on Thursday, and then back to Chicago on Friday. And putting together a tour for my band, I of course wanted to come to my hometown or my home city and play a venue if I could, because I'd love to present my music, which is basically, this tour is touring in support of an album that I just released called Individuation on Destiny Records that came out just in this past October, and that's all my original music with my quartet plus other guests or my friends, and then the master saxophonist Dave Lieben, who I had on a few cuts. And so I wanted to bring that music to a wider audience. And, you know, the Midwest is where I'm originally from, but it made a lot of sense to kind of structure a tour around cities that would be in that region.
Right on. Now, it did mention that you had Kansas City roots. How did that happen?
Well, I grew up in Liberty. I'm a graduate of Liberty High School in 1999. And I, you know, was exposed to the Kansas City jazz scene as a teenager growing up, you know, and going to see local shows and studying with local artists, and also seeing national and international names coming through town, like at the Folly Theater. I saw Michael Brecker, Joe Henderson, Sonny Rollins, the Village Vanguard Orchestra at the Folly, and then there was the Kansas City International Jazz Festival. So I had a lot of formative experiences, as an observer and sort of participant in the Kansas City scene. I wasn't that active in, I had a small group, like a quartet or quintet in high school, and we did do some private gigs, and we also played on, like, high school jazz festivals, like at CMSU and Northwest Missouri State. But I think the sound of Kansas City and the people that were there in the 90s were definitely, that scene was influential on me, that the sound of Kansas City, like in terms of the sound of the blues and phrasing and the legacy of, Lester Young, Charlie Parker, and so forth, was an influence. It was a direct influence because you're there where it happened, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. This is the second time in a week that I have run into somebody that's from Liberty. I actually graduated from Liberty in 1991.
Oh, yeah, totally. So you were in the old building, which was, when I started around as a sophomore, they had the new high school built. But yeah, totally. I remember that building for sure.
That building, it was kind of like the prison playground. It was It was the ball diamond with no windows. You know, when they redid it, it was like a casino. It was like this immaculate shrine to light and neon and just fun. And I always said that about Liberty. Every time I left the school, like the junior high, got this macho industrial design wing whenever I left. And then when I left the high school, so it was like, Murphy's Law was kicking in hard with everything I was doing there.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, I think I got the good end of the deal.
Yeah.
I guess the junior high doesn't even exist anymore? They don't do that, or do they?
They do the middle school. They kind of broke everything up, but that structure is there, and they added onto it. It's massive.
Yeah, totally. That's right. I've seen you know, it hardly looks like what I recognize from my junior high years. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, it's wild.
We have, you know, speaking of that new high school, that, you know, we did have some nice facilities. I mean, we had the band room was brand new and big and had, you know, like sound absorbent curtains, and it seemed like there was a budget, you know, for music, and there was the large group instruction room. I mean, the Liberty did a good job in terms of endowing the school with like facilities and the equipment that they needed to have a great program. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
The teachers were top notch.
Yeah, Liberty is a good district. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask about your record, and you covered it. Now, was there a culture shock with you going from the Midwest to Brooklyn?
Yeah. There was. I mean, I guess I had spent, you know, I grew up in Kansas City, but then kind of grew up as well after, you know, after I moved to Bloomington. I spent 7 years in Bloomington, Indiana, as, you know, in college and then after that. And those were also very formative years. So there was almost like two phases. There was the Kansas City phase, and there was the Indiana, you know, like Bloomington and Indianapolis phase of my life, and then now there's the New York phase. And I think moving to New York, as far as in terms of the density of the population, and just kind of like the grittiness of the city and getting around, I mean, I definitely need some space and quiet, peace and quiet from time to time. So that was, I mean, Bloomington was not too dissimilar from, you know, like towns you might find in like suburbs of Kansas City. You know, it's a college town. It's a beautiful place, and it's you know, the influence of the university is almost everywhere. But I think it was a nice progression for me because Bloomington has, you know, international students, and it has an international reputation. And so you do have a cultural influx of different people. And for when I was there, they had a great, like local jazz, kind of like the Kansas City Jazz Ambassadors. This was like a local jazz organization that brought in national and international names. I mean, I saw like Dave Holland, John Scofield, Christian McBride, Joshua Redman, all sorts of cats there. And so that was kind of a stepping stone. But then moving to New York, certainly, I mean, I live in Bushwick, Brooklyn, which is, you know, for a long time was definitely the hood. And when I moved here, I mean, it's, you know, it's because, like, you know, people who are artists or musicians or whatever can afford to live here. But it's even now, you know, in the midst of gentrification. But the culture shock thing, the culture shock was definitely there. It took me probably several years to get used to living in my neighborhood. And then in New York at large, I mean, I think I'm on year number, what is it? This is my seventh year, I think. I can't believe I can't do math right now. I moved there in 2008 and whatever it is now. Yeah, the seventh year. And I do feel like I've assimilated more. And every time I come back from Kansas City, the sense of being there, being disjunct cultures or whatever, doesn't affect me as much anymore. It's kind of like just smooth sailing from one to the other, which is really nice. But I just think, like, yeah, the density alone is a big factor, and you get a lot of competition too. I mean, it was just like a lot of artists in a space that are trying to do the same thing. You know, they're all trying to be jazz, great jazz musicians, and have the same gigs, you know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Speaking of great jazz musicians, who are your jazz heroes?
There are many, many. I could list much of the tenor and alto saxophone tree. I'll give you some names. I'll try to give you a broad spectrum. I mean, there's, you know, Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins, Ben Webster. There's like the bebop era, Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, one of the great, great, great all-time geniuses of jazz. John Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, you know, the two twin pillars of the jazz saxophone, modern jazz tenor saxophone. Joe Henderson and Wayne Shorter, Ornette Coleman, Eric Dolphy, Miles Davis, of course. I mean, all the you know, some of the best, greatest, most creative jazz music, that's a plug, of all time. You know, Miles is one of the great, you know, more modern saxophone players, like from past few decades, like Michael Brecker, David Liebman, Joe Lovano, Branford Marsalis, Mark Turner, Greg Osby, Steve Coleman, Ravi Coltrane. I mean, there's, you know, I've tried to check out most of the great saxophonists. There's still a few that I have, that I, you know, could spend more time with, but, those, all those players have influenced me in one way or another. And, you know, the whole literature of the music is, you know, you try to deal with in some way. I mean, I, you know, Louis Armstrong, there's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me this, what's the greatest thing about waking up every day?
The greatest thing about waking up every day. I think the continued opportunity to attain greater self-knowledge. I think
right on.
The best thing about life. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And just so like everybody can get kind of a sense of who you are and the breadth and weight of our modern friend Twitter, describe to me who you are in the length of a tweet.
A lot. I think I am curious, sensitive, for better or for worse. Did I say serious? artistically inclined and interested in human potential and progress.
Very cool. Very well said, man. Well, hey, man, enjoy your visit here. Good luck, and hopefully we'll run into you here in the near or late future.
I would love that. Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much for having me on the show, and I'm hoping that you know, Kansas City audiences enjoy the music that we bring from my album Individuation, and we'll I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. Hope you can make it to Westport Coffee House.
Right on. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's gonna love it that makes it, for sure.
Great, sounds awesome.
Thanks again for your time, man. Take it easy.
Thank you, Joe. You too.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over America, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Mr. Michael Eaton for his time and enthusiasm. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino on the iTunes Store, or you can always visit theneonjazz.blogspot.com for all things Neon Jazz. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends.
Neon Jazz.